Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Tonight I want to preach on the subject, when you think you're ready, but you're not. And we're going to be preaching about those things tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, if you look at verse 5 and 6, this is, of course, our faith chapter. I don't know if you've realized how many of these people in this chapter we have dealt with on our series on faith. We're going to continue with that today. I had thought about stopping that series, but because of the things that happened this week, I want to continue on with this. By faith, Enoch, in verse 5, was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Can I have an amen right there? Wouldn't it be nice at your funeral one day and my funeral one day, not that somebody was able to say, boy, they were just really great in business. It's great if you're great in business. Not that maybe somebody would say, boy, they sure were good at sports. Not that somebody would say, boy, I tell you what, they sure were successful on that. Wouldn't it be nice if nothing else could be said at your funeral, that someone could get up and say, from everything that we were able to see, this person pleased God. Look at verse 6. And God, through the Hebrews chapter 11, he gives examples of faith, but not always does he give you a little bit of a sermon when he gives the example. There's many people through this chapter, but in this particular one, when he says that Enoch pleased God, he tells you how. And this is a verse we've used all the way through our series, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. Now I want you to look at Genesis chapter 5, if you will. Hold your place there in Hebrews chapter 11. And let's get a little more specific with Enoch, and then we're going to share some things. I know that many of you are thinking, what about the offering? What about the offering? I appreciate you being so concerned about the offering. Some of you are like, yes, he forgot it today. In the days ahead, we're going to change our orders of service many different times in many different ways. And I feel sometimes that we have good music and it prepares the heart. Then we got so much other stuff before we ever get to the preaching again. And then oftentimes we have such long service for different announcements and different things that by the time I get to preach, I got 20 minutes and then you're ready to go because it's already late. And I feel that our priority ought to be on the preaching of God's Word. The music should prepare your heart to hear it, and the music should prepare my heart to preach it. And let me just say this, I know that there's all kinds of different Christian music. All of you probably have different taste and desires than each other. We're all different. But you have to understand a couple things is at first, I've got to do what God seems to direct me to do for this church. Second, I've got to make sure that the music we have here prepares my heart to preach God's Word. It might be that, you know, say, well, this isn't what I prefer in different things, and we're not there yet. We've got a long way to go with our music, trust me, but we're getting there. But I do know this, that I want my heart prepared before I get up. I spent 10 years in evangelism in some places. I literally had to try to hum in my head or pray to ignore the music that was being sung to try to get myself prepared to preach. And I want music here that glorifies God and that prepares you to hear and me to speak. And I just wanted to thank you today for good music. Thank you, choir. You just have no idea what it does for a pastor when you see a full choir. It's such a hard thing, it seems sometimes, but I want to praise you today. And Tuesday night at Mom's funeral, I'm going to ask our choir to sing. And any of you that I hope that you'll be able to come, choir, and sing, it would mean a lot to me. And many of you, you say, well, I'm not in the choir every week, but you'll know these songs. If you'll just come and help us Tuesday night, that would be a blessing to me. Verse 21 of Genesis chapter 5, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, it said he pleased God. Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And again, God makes note, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And listen to this, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. That's when you really hope you have Medicare and Social Security. Wouldn't you clean up on the government if they had to pay that for 850 years or something like that after you got to 75 or whatever it would be? Let's pray. Father, as we speak on the subject of pleasing you, we can only do that by faith. Lord, I thank you for a mother that pleased you. Lord, I thank you for a mother that taught me what it was to please God and how important it is. And Lord, I pray you'd help us by faith today to glean from your word. In your name we pray, amen. Let me just give you real quickly so you kind of know who Enoch is. Enoch, I believe, is just seven generations, might be eight generations from Adam. But Enoch is Noah's great-grandfather. We're going to talk about the significance of that in just a few minutes. But I notice in Hebrews chapter 11 that the Bible says that he had a testimony that he pleased God. And then in Genesis chapter 5, the Bible says about Enoch twice that he walked with God. That tells me this, the way that you please God is to walk with God. That's what pleased God about Enoch, was that he walked with God. We're going to talk about these things in a minute. And the Bible says, by faith, Enoch did all these things. Everything good in Enoch's life, the Bible says, was only there because of faith. It was by faith. It wasn't by talent. It wasn't by experience. It wasn't by education. It wasn't because he had great parents. It wasn't because of his upbringing. It was only by faith that Enoch was able to please God and walk with God. So you say, well, how does that all get broken down? Well, I want you to notice number one in this today. I see first his conduct. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be there first in verse 5. It says this, that Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. That means Enoch's conduct had given him a testimony to others. His testimony was this, that he pleased God. His testimony wasn't that he had a short temper. There could be some that we would mention their names this morning if I knew the people in your life. And it might be some that I would mention their name, and the first thing you would think of is, boy, they really got a temper. It might be that somebody I mentioned, the first thing you're going to think of, boy, they sure like to hunt. It might be somebody that I mentioned, you might say, boy, they love to play golf. It might be somebody that I mentioned, you say, boy, they love Krispy Kreme. Couldn't imagine who, you know, that would be. But for some reason, whenever anybody brought up Enoch, what people thought about him was, he pleased God. That was his conduct. Can I ask you a question? Would you like to please God? Would you like for that to be your testimony? Would you like for others to see that in you? And by the way, when the verse says that he had this testimony, it means this. Not only did he have that testimony with others, but he had that testimony with who? God. Now, I have met a lot of people that had a testimony with others that wasn't accurate. They had fooled people. In fact, I've seen individuals that you thought they were such and such type of person, and you really admired them and thought, boy, they're a great Christian, and all of a sudden something will come out in their life, and you'll find out that for years, whatever the case might be, they've been involved in things, done things, and you find out that the person that you thought they were, it wasn't them the entire time. They were somebody totally different. It was just a facade that they were putting on. But amazingly here, not just did Enoch have this testimony with people, but because it was genuine and real, he had the testimony with God. This whole church might think Daniel Hawtrey's a good Christian, but God knows whether I am or not. God knows the real you. And his conduct shows us that he was genuine. As I looked at this, I realized this week, that life pretty much boils down to this. Do you please others? Do you please yourself? Or do you please God? You see, right here in this verse is the key to your life. It's the key to my life. It is really what governs every decision we make. It is really what dictates our entire set of character and principles in our life. And you and I have to decide, is my priority, is my motivation to please God? Or is my motivation to please others? Or is my motivation to please myself? I don't find anywhere in here where it says that he had this testimony, that Enoch pleased others. It doesn't say anything in here that people liked him or that he did what they thought he ought to do. The only thing it says about others in here is that they saw that he pleased God. That means there might have been times in individuals' life where he didn't do what they wanted him to do, but he did what God wanted him to do. I don't find anywhere in here that it says Enoch pleased himself. It says Enoch pleased God. That's the kind of conduct you and I have to have. Second, I see his commitment. Notice, if you would, in verse 5, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Genesis chapter 5, we find this, that Enoch walked with God on two different occasions. God says that. Now, let me ask you this. The fact that his conduct was so good that people saw and had a reputation with him that he pleased God. Look at me, I want you to get this. His conduct was a direct result of his commitment. Do you have any idea how much commitment it takes to walk with God? Folks, that takes a commitment. It doesn't say he visited with God, which is what a lot of us do. There's just different times in our life where we'll spend time with him. There's different times in our life where we want to please him. And there's different times in our life where we need him and we're closer to him. And we say, Lord, I need you. But let me tell you something about Enoch. It was consistent. It was the same. He walked with God, period. That takes a commitment, folks. I wonder sometimes if it's a commitment that you and I would be willing to make. You see, through this, I see that he walked with God, not God walked with him. He walked with God. See, preacher, what does that mean? Well, if you have a piece of paper and a pen, this isn't going to be on the screen. I want you to write this down. And you need to know this. The fact that Enoch walked with God tells me four things. Number one, it speaks of his desire. That means that Enoch desired to walk with God. You're not going to be committed enough to walk with God on a daily basis. I mean, day in, day out, having a reputation with God and with people. That means this: he had a reputation with people on the outside. He had a reputation with God on the inside. That means he was on the outside what he was on the inside, and he was on the inside what he was on the outside. You're not going to do that if you don't desire closeness with God. You know why a lot of us don't spend a lot of time in our Bible? We don't want to. You know why a lot of us don't spend a lot of time in prayer with God? Look at me. We don't want to. Because if we wanted to, we would. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Anything, us as human beings, if it's something we really want, we will do anything to get it if we want it bad enough. You know why you and I don't have that desire? And for some reason, Enoch had that desire. I want to walk with God. Is that your desire today? Second, it speaks of his submission. You know what the Bible says? I thought this was really good. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, which means God led, which means this. It speaks, number two, of his submission. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. That means this, if you're going to walk with God, you're not going to change God and make him agree with you. Does that make sense? God's not going to be like, oh, okay, I see what you, oh, your way's better, Daniel. Let me change. Oh, okay, Daniel, you think it would be great if you were a millionaire. Let's change things. Listen, when you and I walk with God, if two are going to walk together, they got to be agreed. And if you're going to walk with God, you got to be in agreement with Him. And you're not going to be in agreement with Him unless you're willing to submit. Because there's going to be a lot of things God does that doesn't make sense to you, doesn't go along with what you think ought to happen, it doesn't agree with your plans, but it's what God wants to do, and you've got to submit to that to be in agreement with Him if you're ever going to walk with Him. Whether you realize it or not, that is really good. Number three, it speaks of His priorities. And this is where it got interesting to me. Notice, if you would, verse 22. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God after, notice this, he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Watch. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God after Methuselah was born. And after Methuselah was born, the Bible says Enoch walked with God 300 years. That means this, and I might be wrong, but according to the passage, it seems to imply that he didn't walk with God before Methuselah was born. Because he doesn't word it this way about anybody else in the genealogies of this chapter. So apparently, Enoch walked with God after Methuselah was born. Now, it made me interested a little bit. And I don't know if this has any significance, but Methuselah's name means this. It means a missile of attack, a man of a dart. Now, why would you name a kid that? I don't know. This is Daniel Hotryology. Is that a word? Bless God, it is now, because I'm the new sheriff. That's right. You know what I think? I don't know what happened. I don't know what transpired. But something around the birth of Methuselah, something changed in Enoch. I don't know if there was a difficult circumstance. He sure named his son in an implication that, you know, there was like a missile attack. I don't know what it was. I don't know what might have transpired in Enoch's life. But I know this, that I see thirdly that his priority was to walk with God. Whatever happened with Methuselah, I don't know what happened, but the Bible says that after Methuselah was born, Enoch began to walk with God. That means this, the Bible says after Methuselah that Enoch had more sons and he had more daughters. That means this, that there's a lot of children around that need daddy's time, daddy's attention. There's a lot of things that can end up taking your time, taking your priorities. I mean, here he's got kids everywhere. He's already old. And now he's getting older and older, and he has all these children. And I'm here to say that if you and I are honest with each other, as our life begins to grow, and if you have children in your house, even young children or teenagers, that there's a lot of things that can go on to take your time. But the fact that in the midst of all these children being there, that Enoch, despite all the things that could have taken his time, he walked with God. That means this, that has to be a priority. If your relationship and walk with God is not a priority in your life, I guarantee you it will suffer. You don't just walk with God because it just happens naturally, folks. It's got to be top priority. Some of you say, well, preacher, I just don't have any time. I'm going to tell you, I feel that way sometimes. I've had probably four, I guess what you'd call moments, since mom died. I had one 2 days before she died. And you just lose it. I'm bawling. I have to go get by myself. And last night was one. And I called my dad late, and he was crying. I was crying. And I said, Dad, I feel like I didn't do right by mom. I didn't come see her enough. I said, I'm just taking over this church. We've got a special needs child at home. I've got a wife that needs my attention. I've got two other boys that, you know what, they don't want to go through life thinking the only priority was on Caden. I said, so I've got two boys, I've got Caden, I've got my wife, I've got this church, and mom's dying with cancer. I said, I felt like I tried to do everything, and I didn't do anything right. I said, I feel like my boys have suffered. I feel like time with Caden has suffered. I feel like time with my wife has suffered. I feel like the church isn't getting everything they need from a pastor. And I said, I feel like my mom didn't get what she needed from her son. And I said, Dad, I just feel there's so many things going on that now that mom's gone, I have time to look back and realize that I didn't write her the notes that I should have written her, and I didn't come by the times that I should have come by, and I didn't call her the times. And I understand those that lose loved ones. We always blame ourselves, and we always go through that. But I am struggling with this because I know that for some reason, all the things in my life began to pull me away from the things that matter most. Sometimes we can't help it. But as I was talking to my dad and I got off the phone last night, I realized as I gave my list, I've got two sons and then I've got Caden over here, special needs, and I've got my wife that, man, we haven't had vacation for 2 years now. I mean, every night, she hasn't slept through a night in 2 years taking care of this boy. And I said, then I got mom dying with cancer, I've got this church over here, but nowhere did I mention, and I've got my time with God. It wasn't in my list. All the things that I need to do, Dad. Folks, look at me. If your walk with God is not your top priority, it will become your least priority. The fact that Enoch walked with God, look at me, you and I read it, so okay, he walked with God. You have no idea the tough decisions, the self-discipline, the middle of the nights when you don't have any other time, and all the things in your life has taken everything that day, getting up when you're tired, not going to bed when you're tired, so that you can pray and walk with God. You have no idea how hard it was for Enoch to do this in his life. We have no clue what it took to walk with God. Fourth, it speaks of his self-control. You know, the Bible teaches us that sin separates us in God. That means this: if Enoch was going to walk with God and stay close with God, he could not have walked that long with God and had sin in his life. Is this making sense to you? Balcony, is this making sense to you? I guess not. Didn't hear nobody. Look at me, folks. You are not going to walk with God closely very long and keep sin in your life. Either you're going to get rid of that sin, or you're going to quit walking with God. The fact that Enoch did it tells me that he addressed sin in his life. You say, well, maybe he just didn't sin. Yeah, right. Enoch's just like us. He had a bunch of kids. I'm going to tell you something. He sinned. I got three, and I've thought about it a bunch. My dad told me after mom passed away, he said, Dean, we're going to have a yard sale and clean out some stuff. And I thought, well, maybe I could just, you know, put some stuff out there, put one of my children there, and then put this and this. By the way, I was thinking the other night, Methuselah meant a missile attack. I thought, man, I should have named my middle child Methuselah instead of Hudson. He has been a missile attack, let me tell you. I'm just picking. Third, not just his conduct, not just his commitment, but I want you to notice thirdly, his consistency. Now listen to me. Enoch walked with God, are you looking? Are you listening? 300 years. Does anybody else, is that mind-blowing to anybody else? Look at me. You could walk with God 250 years and go through a year of rebellion, and you would not have the testimony he had. You'd say, well, 250 years, that ought to mean something. Well, God appreciates it. Let me tell you something. One bad year will ruin your testimony. Let me tell you about this guy's consistency. He didn't just have a season where he got revived, came to the altar, went back, felt good, gave everybody a hug, and then 2 days later was right back to the way he used to live. Enoch walked with God 300 years after Methuselah was born. Consistency. It is one thing to make a commitment. It is another thing to keep it. Is there anybody else like me that finds it difficult to walk with God one whole day? Is there anybody else that it's a miracle to walk with God one whole week? This guy did it 300 years. You say, how in the world could he do that? By faith, God said. Let me tell you something. I'm an independent Baptist, and I believe in purity and holiness and all that kind of thing. Let me tell you something. It did not say by standards. It did not say by convictions. It did not say by judging others. Let me tell you how this guy walked with God was by faith. Consistency. Our time is gone. I want you to notice, fourthly, this is exciting. I notice his completion. His conduct, his commitment, his consistency. But let me tell you what faith did for this fella. Look at his completion. I love this. Of course, you already know the story, but look, if you would, at verse of Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. So, preacher, what does that mean? And was not found. What does that mean? Because God had translated him. Well, what does that mean? All right, look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Same thing we heard in Hebrews. What does that mean? Look at this. For God took him. Can you imagine Methuselah? I have traced the genealogies here that Enoch obviously was there when Methuselah was born. Enoch was 65 years old when he was born. Lamech was born when Methuselah was 186 years old. So I believe that Enoch was 252 years old when his grandson Lamech was born. All right? So I've traced these genealogies. And so here's Methuselah and probably had other children besides Lamech. And then here's Lamech, probably had other children already by then. And here's dad and all these kids. Here's dad and then all these other ones. Here's grandpa. And all of a sudden, as he walked with God like he had every day of his life and was consistent, all of a sudden, he's gone. There's no funeral. There's no casket. Wouldn't that be great? There's no burial. There's no digging in the ground. There's no holding their hand, watching them suffer. He's just gone. You say, oh, well, did an angel come down? Nope. Said God took him. Said God took him. All right, well, how did that transpire, preacher? I'll tell you how. Enoch was already walking with him. And after 300 years, I believe God just said, you know what? You might as well just come on up with me, because we're together all the time anyway.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.